Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Train Congregation outside the 12th Hour in Rivers Hill, Texas. Today, December 30, 2017, there is Seabed 13, 2021. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Hush, we need a tender care. In that pleasant pasture, feed us. For how ye shepherds prepare. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua. Now has brought us than we are. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua. Thou hast brought us thine behind. We are thine, thee thou befriend us, leader, guardian, helper, of faith. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua. You hear us when we pray. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua. You hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua, early love has turned to thee. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua, early love has turned to thee. Early let us seek a favor. Early let us do the will. This is Yeshua and only Savior, with our love our blessings fill. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua, that has loved us still. This is Yeshua, this is Yeshua, thou hast loved us still. Holy One, Part 7, Isaiah 22. For the burden of the valley of the vision, what aileth thee now, that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops? Thou that art full of stirrings, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in the battle. All thy riders are fed together, they are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fed from far. Therefore said I, look away from me, I will weep bitterly, labor not to comfort me, because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble, and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Yahweh Elohim of the host. And it says, Lord God here now, that they seem to refer to the Father. Yahshua, well, I guess Yahweh the Father can be also of the host. His Son is also Yahshua of the host. So let's just leave it at that for the time being. And it says, for it is a day of trouble, and of treading down, and of the perplexity by the Yeshua of the host in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying unto the mountains. And Edom bare the quiver with the chariots of men and horsemen, and Kura uncovered the shield. And it shall come to pass that the choicest valleys shall be full of the chariots, and the horsemen shall sit themselves in array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day unto the armor of the house of the forest. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many. And ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Yahshua of the host call to weeping, and to mourning, and to bowlness, and to girding with the sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Yahshua the host, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die. Says the Yahshua Messiah of the host, thus the Yahshua Messiah of the host, go, get thee unto the treasury, even unto Shibna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out a sepulcher here, as he that heweth him out a sepulcher on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Yahshua will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the church of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Yahshua's house, of thy Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Revelation 3:7. Let's go read the cross reference on that. Opening and shutting. It says that, and unto the angel of the congregation in Philadelphia, the congregation of Israel, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. William Miller, with the 2300 day prophecy, is with the opening up of that door and to the judgment, starting in 1844. And pointing out the end of the 2300 days that came to their fulfillment at the Atonement, 1844. So this is the, William Miller had this key laid upon his shoulder, the key of David. Okay. Now here is someone here in Isaiah 22 that had the key of David laid up. And when it gives the cross-reference, Revelation 3:7, is showing that this prophecy is for the time in the end time, in the Revelation, and here in the 12th hour. Okay? That the key of David was passed on from one prophet to another that sit upon the throne of David. One prophet to another. Whoever was succeeded each other on the throne of David, he had the key of David. Okay, so here it is right here in Isaiah 22. And it says in verse 20, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah," meaning the house of David. "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder." See? "And the key of the house of David." So we represent the house of David today. Elijah David has been given the commission to represent the house of David today. "So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." So we have that commission today. To open and shut. To open and shut. And who we have the key to open. Yeah, "So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." So it's the prophecy is placed upon the one that has been given this key of David to open and to shut the prophecy. So prophecy is very well contained by Yahweh the Father through his Son, through those who the key of David is given to. Okay. So in Isaiah 22:23, "And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagon. And that day saith Yahshua the host, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed." Okay, so now this is a prophecy for our day, as I pointed out. And Brother Johnson was the one that had the key of David given to him in 1970. He had it placed upon his shoulder. It was to open and to shut. Now, Ben Roden, his predecessor, from 1955 to 1970, he had a 15-year reign. And at the end of his reign, according to prophecy, in 1970, he had himself crowned King David, antitypical King David. He said, "I'm the true antitypical King David." Well, if he was, then he would have also had the key of David placed upon his shoulder to open and to shut. But we know that that didn't happen. And so we know that that was a false claim by someone that was not an antitypical David, out of time, out of prophecy, and no way connected up to that prophecy. So, but Brother Johnson had the key laid upon his shoulder by virtue of the fact that he was the one that restored the sanctuary system. As Sister White had prophesied about after 1844, she said they went back to study about the disappointment of William Miller and found out that the sanctuary was not the earth itself, as William Miller had taught, but that the sanctuary had a place and services. It was actually a building. And it had a place in services, and that it was to be restored. She said, be restored and put back into its rightful order. But it says right here in the prophecy of Isaiah 22:25, it says, "In that day saith Yahshua the host, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, and be cut down, and fall." Okay? So this is a prophecy for the cutting down and the falling of Gilead Center, which in essence represents the cutting down and the falling of that tree there in Job 14:7, that is a prophecy for the Adventist church is representing this tree. So the cutting down then that nail, shall be removed and be cut down and fall. And the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Yahshua has spoken it. So, Brother Johnson represented this nail fastened in a sure place in 1970. Because the prophecy says it's time to fasten this nail in a sure place. That nail wasn't given to Ben Roden to fasten in a sure place. It was given to Rollis. And Rollis indeed was given the light and commission to publish a creation calendar, taken from creation time, given the light on that, and able to restore the sanctuary back to his rightful order. And so he was given the grandest commission of all time, as far as I'm concerned, to make good. But the prophecy says here that nail is going to be cut down. So we go to Job here, 14:7, and Job is an inspired messenger. And he says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. There's your key right there, tender branch. Then that tree was cut down here in the prophecy of Isaiah 22:25. In that day, saith Yahshua of the host, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall. For the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Yahshua has spoken it. Okay. That ends Isaiah chapter 22. Now, if you want to go read another prophecy, there in Zechariah chapter 4, you can find out about another cutting down, and it talks about the same event. Zechariah 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Yahweh is perfect in all of his ways, and his son only speaks the words that the Father gives him to speak. And so therefore, when the son speaks, it's the same thing as the Father speaking. You can say Yahweh of hosts, or you can say Yahweh of the Yahshua of the host. It's the same thing. Moreover, the word of the Yahshua came unto me, saying, now see, it says in Zechariah 4, I just read to you where the Seventh-day Adventist church, by the prophecy of Zechariah 4:7, came to an end, 2002, who art thou, O great mountain? Mm-hmm. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. See, that Mount Gilead is this great mountain that the prophecy is talking about, actually. And he says, who art thou, O great mountain? And he's talking about Gilead Center. Because Gilead Center represents the whole Adventist church. And so that little mountain, Gilead Center, was a little mountain, but it was a great mountain, because it represented Bashan, which represents the Adventist Church, and that great tall mountain that Psalm 68 talks about. So it says here in Zechariah 4:7, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, grace, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, now it says, in addition to now, he came, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. And his hands shall, shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Yahshua the host has sent me unto you. Now we have been told by the prophets before in Israel and Advent Church that, especially by Brother Johnson, he identified this Zerubbabel as being Ellen G. White. But it says here, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Well, you can't take a female prophetess and refer to her as a him. Now, this is the first time that we have made a point on this, but I'm going to make it now. Because the hands of Zerubbabel that laid the this foundation of this house, okay, Zerubbabel was the governor of Judea, okay, his hands shall also finish it. Okay, so Zerubbabel and the type. He was one of the captives that came back with Nehemiah, Ezra the priest, and Cyrus is the one that supplied the money, and he was the king of Persia and the Medes, and he's the one that overthrew Babylon, set the captives free, and financed their way to go, the Jews' way to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild Jerusalem and to lay the foundation thereof. Zerubbabel was the one that was in charge of laying the foundation. He was a man. He was the governor of Judea. Okay? So you'd have to have another governor then of Judea, not of the 10 tribes of Israel, which the Adventist Church represented in 1844 when they started out. Because the prophecy of Ezekiel 4, the 390-day prophecy, is confined to the Adventist Church. And that prophecy met its fulfillment in 1890 when the Jones and Reiner came with a message of Russians by faith, and the General Conference being in charge, more powerful than Ellen G. White, because they had taken the authority away from Ellen G. White and they were in charge in 1890 of Seventh Adventists, and so they caused the majority to reject that message, but it didn't stop the prophecy from fulfilling, representing the 10 tribes of Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church at that time. Of course, Judah didn't come and join the Seventh-day Adventist Church until 1890. Judah then was identified by the prophecy, the same prophecy as of Ezekiel 4, where it says to lay on your right side for Judah, for the iniquity of the house of Judah, for 40 days, a day for a year. So they're on their side for that. So Judah then joined the 10 tribes, or were identified with the 10 tribes in 1890. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judea, not the 10 tribes. This is something we have to reckon with. And thou shalt know that the Yahshua the host has sent me unto you. So who laid the foundation then for the antithetical house of Judah. Now Jerusalem is the capital of all Israel. And it's the capital of Judah, actually. Samaria is the capital of the 10 tribes in the north. But when the 10 tribes are joined back to the 2 tribes in the south, again these last days, then Judah will be in charge. So, the Zerubbabel then would have to be the governor of Judea, again, that lays the foundation for this house. Brother Johnson was given the commission to lay the foundation, and indeed he laid a foundation in 1970. But he laid the foundation for the sinful kingdom, as it turned out to be, and that sinful kingdom represented the whole Adventist Church. Okay? And so therefore, he was not the antitypical Zerubbabel. But he did lay the foundation. But this one that lays the foundation for the house of David in these last days is the antitypical David. He's the one that lays the foundation. Because David supplied in the type, he supplied the money and the material for Solomon his son to build the house of Yahweh. Solomon then, in the type, would be the one that laid the foundation for Jerusalem, for Israel, for the temple. That's the first time that there has been a stationary Jerusalem established and a temple built as the house of Yahweh. So Solomon, the son of David, is the one that laid the foundation. But his father provided the material and the money and the helpers. He's the one that made friends with all of his enemies round about. And so when it came time for Solomon to succeed him and sit upon the throne of David and to build the house of Yahweh and the temple, he hired, matter of fact, all of his neighbors around him, outside of Israel, because David had humbled them through warfare, they became the friends to Israel, so they volunteered. And Solomon asked them to come and bring their material to build this great city. So where did the material come from that built this great city of Jerusalem? It came from all over Lebanon. It came from all over Syria, round about Israel. And so then the first one that laid the foundation for Jerusalem in the type would be Solomon. So where are we at today? We're in the antitypical Solomon's period here in the 12th hour. And that prophecy is pointed out in Zechariah as well, where it talks about this kingdom of glory, about the two brass mountains there in Zechariah 6. The first one was a kingdom of grace. the first brass mountain, there was a dividing, a valley that divided those two brass mountains, the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of grace was at the cross, established by the apostles, and Yahshua established it himself. And then a great, very great valley, you had the Dark Ages, 1260 years, and then you have down to the end time. Well, this kingdom of glory, which is an eternal, everlasting kingdom, is the antitype of Solomon's kingdom. That he actually built the city, laid the foundation, built the city. So he was, so this is a rubble. Then, would lay the foundation for the spiritual temple to be rebuilt here in the 12th hour. There's a lot of talk and a lot of explaining, but nevertheless, that is the very crucial point that we need to understand more clearly than we've ever had before. It says in Zechariah 4, verse 9, "For the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Yahshua the host has sent me unto you." In verse 10, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Yahshua, which run to and fro through the whole world." Well, this would have to apply to now, in the 12th hour, with the house of David. Okay, and it says in Zechariah 4:11, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which threw the two golden pipes into the golden oil out of themselves? He answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my master. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Yahshua of the whole earth. So these two anointed ones is found in the prophecy of Revelation 11. So here again, we have Old Testament prophets prophesying, and the prophecies dovetail into the Revelation, showing that they apply in these last days for their fulfillment. That's the reason why you have all of these dovetailing into the Revelation. So when you read these prophecies in the Old Testament, know that it is Yahshua talking through these prophecies, because he is the written word. His name is Abaddon, and the Hebrew means the written word, the living written word. And so, there you have it. Let's go back now to Isaiah. Let's pick up Isaiah, I suppose, 23. Let's see what we have here for our next chapter to read. It says, the burden of Tyre, how ye as ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in, from the land of Chittim, it is revealed unto them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, though whom the merchants of the Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished, and thou great waters, the seed of Sahar, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle, is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of the ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre and the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honorable of the earth? For the Yahshua the host hath purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Yahshua hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. Now, what's the merchant city? That is Babylon. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. So when we talk about the ships of Tarshish, and we talk about Tyre, we're talking about the headquarters for Babylon. Okay. Says, behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not, till the Assyrians founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers there, they raised up the palaces there, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste, and it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Okay, now what is this set? We're just coming up on the end of a 70 years in our day, 1948 to 2018. We're just coming to the end of 70 years now, and this is where this prophecy applies today. Taking heart, go about the city, thou harlot. What harlot is talking about? Harlot of Babylon. Thou hast been forgotten. Make sweet melodies, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that I, the Yahshua, will visit Tyre, Babylon, and she shall turn to her house and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Now that gives us a cross-reference to Ezekiel 16:25-29. Let's go and pick that up right quick. Ezekiel 16:25-29. Thou hast built thy high places at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great as flesh, and hath increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast paid the whore, also with the Assyrian, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and the land of Canaan is the land of Israel. And yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, said to Yahweh Elohim, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, and that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, and that thou scornest her, but as a wife that committest adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gift to all thy lovers, and hirest of them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredoms. And the contrary is in thee, from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredom, and in that thou givest a reward, and the reward is given unto to thee, therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered, through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of the children which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock, and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. Actually, this is talking about the Adventist Church, folks, and I can prove that to you by getting another cross-reference over here, where I was just reading in Hosea. It said Hosea chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. It's talking about the house of Israel. Hosea 8, 9 and 10. It says, for they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Ephraim is the head of the 10 tribes of Israel. And the 10 tribes represent the Adventist Church from 1844 to 1890. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them, and they shall shower a little for the burden of the king of princes. Because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin, altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written unto him the great things of thy law, that they were counted as a strange thing. Okay, so now, Jacob, the father of Joseph, and Joseph the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, down in Egypt, and Joseph adopted the two sons into the 12 tribes. And so that's the reason why we said Ephraim is a head of the ten tribes. Okay. So it says, this is the prophecy about then, about the spiritual Israel of today. So now we go back to Isaiah 23. We pick up verse 18. And her merchandise and her house shall be a holiness unto the Yeshua. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Yeshua to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Behold, this is Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Okay, Isaiah 2:19 is a back up here for a reference to that. Let's see what it's talking about. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks, and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Yeshua, or the Yahweh, for fear of the Yahweh, and for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. And that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, unto the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the top of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Yahweh, and for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. So it goes, and now it goes back to Isaiah 24:20, and it says, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Yeshua of the host, this is the sun, shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Now, isn't this amazing? It talks, it uses this word ancient, ancients, gloriously. Now, who are these ancients it's talking about? In Ezekiel chapter 8, let's go and immediately find that word ancients. It says in Ezekiel 8, verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Okay, it said in verse 11, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients, A-N-C-I-E-N-T-S, ancients, of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? It's talking about the ministers. It's talking about the ones that are the direct head of the spiritual Israel today. That would be those that are head of the Adventist church. Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Yeshua, or the Yahweh saith is not, the Yahweh hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination that they do. Who? These ancients, these general conference ministers, are ruling over the Adventist church today, these Jesuit infiltrators from the Catholic Church. These are your ancients is talking about. To see what these ancients do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Yahweh's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz was a mythical son of Nimrod and Semiramis. And Nimrod was a grandson of Ham, the second son of Noah, and Cush and Nimrod. Nimrod was a great hunter, and he was the one that started Babylon, or actually Cush, his father, started Babylon. And so it says, they have this mythical, astrological thing that they say that when Nimrod was killed by a boar, and his Semiramis died, that they married, became husband and wife in the heavens. And he was the sun god, and she was the moon goddess. And they had a son named Tammuz. And they put his birthday on the 25th of December. And today in the folklore, they're saying Yahshua, the Messiah, was actually Tammuz. In Babylonian folklore and history. So there you have it. So here's what these Adventists are doing today. They put up the Christmas tree on December the 25th. In our churches, I go to an Adventist church anytime at Christmas time. I can go to an Adventist church at random. They'll more than likely have a Christmas tree placed up there in the place of the altar. I know I went to Dallas one time, Central Church here in Dallas, back in the 80s and or 70s. 70s or 80s, anyway. They had, at Christmas time, they had a meeting of all the churches in the region round about. And when I walked in, they had 25 men in a rainbow shape up on the stage. And they had their faces toward the east and their backs toward the west. Okay. And they, they already told me, said, these are the 25 men mentioned there in Ezekiel 8. And I said, oh my goodness, well, these are the ancient men before the house. And what are they doing here? It was on Christmas Day, and they were they had the pulpit, which they had to sit over in the corner, and they had a Christmas tree up there in the place of it. And they were asking people from the audience to come and place their envelopes up on the Christmas tree with money in it. And this is for a good cause, yeah. It was for a good cause for those 25 ancients to stick in their pocket. This is their bonus for putting on a Christmas pageantry in the Adventist Church, which was a height of the abomination. So, Tammuz is nothing but when you celebrate Christmas, or when you celebrate your own birthday, you're weeping for Tammuz. Because Christmas is nothing but a birthday celebration for Christ, the Yahshua the Messiah, in the Greek, and in the Greek folklore. So there you have it. So it says, then he brought me near to the door, this is Ezekiel 8:14, of the gate of the Yahweh's house, which was toward the north. Behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And lo and behold, the church that I went to in Dallas that day, it was on the north side of Dallas, North Central Freeway, going straight north, and it was on the north side of Dallas, and the temple was facing east and west for the entrance, and it was on the west side of the highway. And the front door was facing east. So when I went in the front door, lo and behold, 25 men standing up on the rostrum. And just as soon as I walked through the door and saw that, the Holy Spirit said, 25 men were on that stage. So I could sit down and I counted them, and there was 25 there. So that was a scene that is reminiscent of what it's talking about here in Ezekiel 8. So Ezekiel 8, verse 15, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again. Now this would be a third time that he was told to turn again. And thou shalt see greater abomination than these, that these ancients before the house of Israel commit. And he brought me into the inner court of the Yahweh's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Yahweh, between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Yahweh and their faces toward the east. And that's exactly what I witnessed. I sat down and I said, well, this temple, the entrance faces east and the back part of it faces west. And so whenever they go up on the rostrum, they have to turn around to face you. And what are they doing? They're facing east. That's where they preach their sermons from. That's where they pray from. That's where they sing from. Pointing toward the east. And they got that Christmas tree up there. And it's all about that Christmas tree. On a Sabbath day. This is on a high Sabbath. This is a seventh day Sabbath day. Christmas fell on that day, I believe, that year. Okay? So they're having a high Sabbath. Worshiping Baal. So they worship toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing unto the house of Judah? Oh, Judah? So this thing graduated all the way down to when Judah was in charge of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's the house of David that's in charge of Judah, and that's the lawgiver over all the other 11 tribes. So that they commit the abomination which they commit here. Now I understand why Yahweh gave me that book, Fossilized Custom, my wife and I. And I can understand now why he says take this to Brother Johnson to show him that not only is Christmas an abomination, that's what the book said, but also birthdays are compared to the same thing. So if you celebrate Christmas, that's worshiping Tammuz. And if you celebrate your own birthday, that's the same thing as worshiping Tammuz. For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. And Judah has been in charge of the house of Israel ever since 1930 when Yahweh brought forth the rod out of the stem of Jesse in 1930 and declared V.T. Hardiff as the new prophetic leader with inspiration and the new prophet on the scene. And so he represented the tribe of Judah. And then he passed it on to, at the end of the rod period, passed on to Brother Johnson, continuing on the tribe of Judah as the lawgiver. And Brother Johnson established the sanctuary system, fully restored it, as the lawgiver. Okay? And so, it says right here in Ezekiel 8:17, then he said to me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing in the house of Judah that they commit the abominations that which they commit here? Now, he's talking about this prophecy here is for the 12th hour, for the 11th and 12th hour. And as a matter of fact, this prophecy is for the 10th, 11th and 12th parabolic hours, the last three parabolic hours in the end time that started in 1844. The 10th hour started then. 11th hour picked up in 1970 and the 12th hour picked up in 2002-2003. So we, and that belongs to the Adventist Spiritual Israel Day exclusively, those three parabolic hours. And we had three feeding pastors come forth in those three parabolic hours, and we had three main leaders, and that was Ellen G. White, V.T. Hardiff, and Rollis W. Johnson. Okay, so Rollis Johnson was the last one in charge of the candlestick of Lettersiv, which was, incidentally, so if he was in charge of the candlestick, then he was in charge of the whole 12 tribes of Israel. And that's really what Rollis Johnson said in 1970, he said, Yahweh spoke to me and said, I have assigned the 12 tribes of 144,000 unto this movement. Okay. So anyway, and it says in Ezekiel 8:17, for they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put their branch unto their nose. Therefore, and this is exactly what happened because the Adventists, never acknowledged the branch when Brother Johnson announced it in 1970. They never acknowledged the branch when Ben Roden announced it in 1960. And they never acknowledged the shepherd rod when the Vichy House announced it in 1930. They never acknowledged the rod or the branch that come out of her midst. So, Brother Johnson is the only one that acknowledged the three feeding pastures, Mission, Carmel, and Gilead, Adventists, Davidians, and Branch Davidians. He acknowledged all three of them. So therefore, this is the only one that this prophecy could finally fulfill to, and that would be Wallace W. Johnson in the 11th parabolic hour. So he said, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? This is Ezekiel he's talking to, and the man that unfolds his prophecy today, he is this son of man, and this is what I represent today. Is it a light thing unto the house of the Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch in there. When did Judah return? They returned in 1930, when they by the prophecy of Ezekiel 4. They returned in actually 1890. They returned. That's when they returned. They developed in 1930. They started developing in 1930, and they continued on until 2003. This Judah. Okay, so it says they have returned to provoke me to anger. So Judah was in the captivity under Nebuchadnezzar in the top for 70 years, and then they were brought back by a divine prophecy and with a deliverer called Cyrus. And so lo and behold, they have returned to provoke me to anger. So what they do? They rebuilt the city and the walls at the return after 70-year exile in the land of Chaldea, Babylon. And then they come and they built the temple, and lo and behold, if they didn't provoke Yahweh to anger, Brother Sweden had to send his son about 500 years later at the cross to deliver Israel once again, because Judah had provoked him to anger then. That was the type. And today, the antitype was when Brother Johnson apostatized and put the branch to his nose, then that is called, once again, returning and provoking, yes, Yahweh unto anger. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour, corners, number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Under his wings. Under his wing I have safely abided. The night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him and know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, and from his love can save you. Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, but our refuge in sorrow, and the heart yearning returns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can save me? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There I will hide till our trials are whole. hood protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Yahshua, I'm safe evermore. Under his wing, under his wing, who from his love can save me. Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safe abide.